we look around us, all the fields are white, ripened unto harvest, and so swiftly comes the night. Christians must get busy, there is work to do. Here's an urgent task awaiting you. Souls are crying, men are dying. Won't you lead them to the cross? Go and find them, help to win them. Win the lost at any cost. Go out and win, rescue from sin. Day's almost done, low sinks the sun. Souls are crying, men are dying. Win the lost any cost. Christ our loving shepherd went out from the fold, seeking for to stray a lamb that's lost in dark and cold. Tender hands of kindness raised him from the ground. Now the little lost one had been found. Souls are crying, men are dying. Won't you lead them to the cross? Go and find them, help to win them. Win the lost at any cost. Go out and win, rescue from sin. Day's almost done, low sinks the sun. Souls are crying, men are dying. Win the lost at any cost. Check your fold, my Christian. Are the children in? Are there yet some straying lost in blackened fields of sin? You must go and reach them. Go without delay. Soon the shades of night will end the day. Souls are crying, men are dying. Won't you lead them to the cross? Go and find them, help to win them. Win the lost at any cost. Go out and win, rescue from sin. Day's almost done, low sinks the sun. Souls are crying, men are dying. Win the lost at any cost.
Amen. Good singing tonight. Enjoyed that special, Miss Nikki. Thank you, Mrs. Tyner, for all your hard work. If you would please go ahead and take your Bibles out. And once more, we're going to be preached to. I'm looking forward to hearing Brother Aguiar. And Brother, why don't you come at this time?
Having your Bibles tonight, turn with me if you will. Numbers chapter 13. Numbers chapter 13. Good crowd for a Monday night. And appreciate each one of you coming out, taking a part in the services. It is a blessing being here. And appreciate all that God has done. I was listening as the special music was being sung. A lot of memories came back to my mind while my dad was a missionary to Germany. I remember when we was on deputation, Mom and my brother and I, we would stand up and sing that song. We must have sang that song over 100 times. Different churches we went into. My dad presented the work, and as a family, here it is, we sang that song. Brought back a lot of good memories, and so I'm grateful for that. Souls are crying, and we need to win folks to the Lord Jesus Christ. Good to be here. If you get some time and you're looking for a good Bible, we do have Bibles back in the back, and I hope that'll be a blessing to you. And there's a lot of different types of Bibles. We got the super giant print. When I come to Florida, normally the first church I go to, it sells out. But since we've been back so many times with Bibles, I think everybody now has some super giant prints, so I'm able to hold on to them. But there'll be more coming. But we do have those super giant prints, also large print. A lot of different reference Bibles, and those are available. The Bible cases are all there also, and I trust it might be a blessing to you, and looking forward to what God's going to do. I remember last year, we finished up here last year. I had a few other churches in Florida. Then we went back to Alabama. We stayed there for about 2 weeks. I headed out to the state of Texas, and I was asked to come out to start a camp meeting, to preach a camp meeting, and so we started with a camp meeting at one church. 3 miles down the road, we set up then the tent at another church to hold tent meetings. I'm glad these two churches work with each other, even though they're 3 miles apart. And I will never forget, as we set up the tent, it was a blessing. I wasn't sure how well we could set the tent up after having surgery about 2 months, or 2 or 3 months prior to that tent meeting. But God blessed, and the tent went up, and we carry 100 chairs with us. We normally minister to small churches. This one happened to be just a little bit over that, and so here we had our 100 chairs, and come to find out, we actually had to borrow a lot more chairs. We ended up borrowing 175 extra chairs, and we ran out, because outside the tent holds 236 folks. And outside the tent, there was two rows all the way around the tent, folks listening to the Word of God. And so we're grateful for what God did. He saved some souls, worked in hearts. The church still talks about that tent meeting, how it did something. If the Lord will allow us, we're going back there again, holding another tent meeting. But just pray with us, the will of God might be done. We have opportunity of preaching to different types of people. Don't get me wrong, I'll preach to anybody that's willing to listen. But we over there in Mexico, many of you know, along the border, there's a lot of illegals that are there. And you say, what do you do when you go to a place where there's illegal folks? I do the same thing I do when there's legal folks. I just preach. I figure what folks need more than anything is the hearing of the Word of God. If they get deported, it doesn't bother me. They can become missionaries in their own country and preach the Word of God. But my main thing is to give out the Word of God, and it's just been a blessing. We saw quite a number of folks get their lives right, lives turned around. It's just a blessing. And so we want you to pray with us that God's will be done. Once again, we'll be about 20 miles from the Mexico border, if the Lord will permit, this March, and pray that God would do something in hearts and lives. We've seen great things take place, and just pray with us that the will of God might be accomplished. The book of Numbers chapter 13, if you're able to, stand with me. Let's read a portion from the Word of God. Numbers chapter 13, I'm not going to read the entire passage of Scripture, but I'll skip around in some of the verses. If you notice in verse number 1, the Bible says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Send thou men, that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Every tribe of their fathers shall ye send a man, every one a ruler among them. And Moses, by the commandment of the Lord, sent them from the wilderness of Paran. All those men were heads of the children of Israel." And if you notice from verse number 4 all the way to verse number 16, it mentions these men. But if we could pick up in verse 17, the Bible says, "And Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan, and said unto them, Get you up this way southward, and go up into the mountain, and see the land, whether it is what it is, and the people that dwelleth therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many, and what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, and what the cities be that they dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds, and what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, or whether there be wood therein or not. Be ye of good courage, and bring of the fruit of the land." Now the time was the time of the first ripe grapes. So they went up and searched the land from the wilderness of Zin unto Rehob. as men come to Hamath. Would you skip with me in verse 26? And as they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel under the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told them and said, "We came unto the land whither thou sentest, and surely it floweth with milk and honey. And this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there, and the Amalekites dwelt in the land of the south, the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwelt in the mountains, and the Canaanites by the sea and by the coast of Jordan." And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." Tonight I want to preach on this thought: when your mission has failed. A little bit different of a thought. We always like to preach something positive. But tonight I want to preach on this: when the mission has failed. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you that we have the opportunity of gathering in the house of the Lord. Lord, the songs that have been sung, they've been an encouragement. Lord, I'm grateful for the day at Calvary that you gave your life. And Lord, because of it, now the Comforter lives inside of us. What a blessing to be saved by the grace of God. Lord, we come tonight and I pray you might take this passage of Scripture. Lord, would you open our understanding? Would you teach us many things? And Lord, through it, may we have a victorious Christian life. Lord, we're going to notice some folks that did not press towards the prize that you had for them. They ended up losing, Lord. They ended up failing. But Father, I pray you might show us some things that will be helpful in our Christian life. May the will of God be done, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. An interesting passage of Scripture. The children of Israel have already came out of the land of Egypt. They've gone through that Red Sea as a type of baptism. It seems like as soon as they got through baptism or through that Red Sea, they come to a place of trials, a place of troubles. And now here it is, their journey, and God's doing different things, instructing them in a lot of different ways. And then it comes the time that God says, "We need to go ahead. We need to go over that and possess that land." And he said, "Moses, choose you out 12 men from every tribe. Let them go over there and see the land, that you might be able to possess that land." Moses goes ahead and gets the elders together. And there's 12 men, one from each one of the tribes of Israel, that are called. Here they looked over all the different ones. They got the best one out of the tribe of Reuben. Someone that was honorable. Somebody that was respectful. Someone that they could trust. They got another one out of the tribe of Simeon. And then they got another one out of the tribe of Levi. Another one out of the tribe of Judah. And Dan and Asher and Naphtali. All these different tribes. 12 different tribes. And now here the 12 men are here. And now Moses is talking to them. And he says, "I want you to go into the land. Look over everything. See if there's mountains. See if there's valleys. See if there's wood. See if it is a land that has a lot of vegetation. I want you to notice the walls, the people that dwell in. Are they strong? Are they weak? Are they mighty? I want you to find out if they're dwelling in tents or in houses." And here he gives the command to these 12 men to go out and spy the land. As they head towards the south, towards the mountains, could you see with me as it takes quite a number of days to get over to that place? And here as they begin to look, they begin to make notes. I don't know if they took some type of thing to write on. I'm not sure. But here they're looking over everything in this land. I mean, the children of Israel, they're in a wilderness. They're in a city now. They're looking at the cities. They're looking at the walls. They're looking at everything. And now we find out they come back to Moses. We find out that there's some different thoughts that are given. You know, everybody sees things differently. If I was to have a glass right up here, and I do have one, some people will say that's half empty, where some will say it's half full. It just depends on how you look at things. And I'm just wondering tonight, as these 12 men, hey, here it is, they come to Moses. Each one saw the same thing, but sometimes they look at things differently. We in our church, we sometimes look at things differently. But we notice here that if we was to really notice a little farther in chapter number 14, we notice that the end results, God told him in verse 29, your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness. The end result of this mission was they're going to die in this wilderness. And I notice there's a mission that has failed. Now, could I say it's not been God's fault? God is not the one that causes folks to mess up on the mission. Could I say He's still the God of yesterday? He's still the God that's going to take care of us. He's still the great God. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all we're able to ask or think. It's not God's fault for us not living a Christian life. But tonight I want to maybe look at three different thoughts tonight from this passage of Scripture. And just take the Word of God and just notice some things tonight about a failed mission. Would you notice with me the first thought I want to give you? Notice the cause of the failure. If we could look tonight at the cause of the failure here in chapter number 13, we notice they went in there and in verse 28 they said, nevertheless the people be strong that dwell in the land. And the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. I started looking at Anak. I found out that those were giants in the land. You know, what it really gets you intimidated is when you come across a person that's a giant. Have you ever went ahead and maybe went and saw somebody that stood about 6'8", 6'9"? And here it is, you're looking up to them, and now I'm 6 foot, 9 more inches, it's not too bad. But some of y'all aren't quite at 6 foot. And my, here it is, could you imagine looking up? Here, they saw the giants, if things are the way I find in the historical side, they said these giants were probably around 8 to 9 foot tall. Like unto Goliath, the tall one that went up against David. And I'm thinking for a moment, could you imagine looking at a giant? Here it is, 8, 9 foot tall. When they're that tall, they're also a little bit wider. You know what I'm talking about? And I'm just thinking for a moment, they said there's no way we can possess the land. There's no way we can make it over. There's giants in the land. And I'm just thinking for a moment, a person trying to live a Christian life, a person trying to get in the perfect will of God. Do you know one of the obstacles we run across is giants in our land? Now, I'm not talking about people, but I'm talking about things that seem like giants. Brother Aguirre, I can't do it. I can't do this. This is too big of an obstacle. I can't live for God because of this. And I can't. And my, these giants have went ahead and came in our land. These giants are in our life. And my, they're making us lose out on the victory God has for our lives. If you notice with me, even in the Scriptures, it begins to mention different ones. There in verse number 29, it mentions the Jebusites. I started reading a little bit. I started looking at all these different places. What did it represent? What does it mean? The word Jebusite actually means trodden down. You know, there's a lot of Christians. You can get in victory, but you're trodden down. You're so worried. What took place in the past? Now, could I say all of us have a past? All of us has done things that we hang our head down and say, I wish I never would have got involved with that. I wish I never would have done that. We all have a past. But my, many times we'll begin to think about the past. We'll begin to think about what's going on. And we say we can't live for God. We can't have victory. That's a bunch of hogwash. You can live for God. You can go on for God. Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are before. The Jebusites, they were trodden down. And I'm just thinking how many Christians allowing a giant to trot them down from doing the work of God. As I was just noticing these different ones, the Jebusites, I find the Canaanites. The Canaanites were those of materialism. It's interesting that when Joshua finally got the children of Israel go in, he said, listen, we have to destroy all the things of the Canaanites. Why? It was materialism. They had gods, other gods they was worshiping. They had other books that they were reading. They had a lot of things of material goods that would not be good for the children of Israel. And I'm thinking for a moment, there's a lot of Christians, they would live for God, but they're hooked up too much with the materialism of this world. I'm just noticing a giant. I notice the Hittites. The word Hittites actually means fear. You know, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. There's some folks that are just so fearful. Here it is. They just can't go into victory. I'm noticing the giants. I notice here the parasite. The word parasite means unwalled, no boundaries. Here it is. There's a lot of things in our life, but we need our boundaries. We need our wall. I'm just talking about giants in our life that's stopping us from doing the will of God. You realize God has a perfect will for your life. He has something that He wants you to do. And my, I begin to think how we're allowing giants to stop us from the will of God. As I'm thinking for just a moment, the word Amorite actually means pride and rebellion. And I'm thinking how pride and rebellion, a giant in many folks' lives. I'm the best thing there is. If I wasn't around, the church wouldn't be going. You know, the church has been going on for a long time without you. You say, Brother Aguirre, I'm an important part. Now, don't get me wrong. We're all important. But I want you to know the church isn't built on you. The church is built on the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone. I'm noticing here the pride, the rebellion. And here the cause of failure is that there was giants in the land that was stopping them. As I'm noticing just the failure, I'm also noticing not just the giants, but I'm also noticing the garrison. There was a company of great hosts. He said, there the people be strong that dwell in. I'm noticing here there's the garrison. There's a group of folks. There's a lot of folks that are there. And we can't have victory because this garrison, this group of folks, this amount of folks are here. You know, there's a lot of Christians. They're not living for God because of a lot of other people. Now, with teenagers, we call it peer pressure. But do you know adults also have peer pressure? You know, adults also will go ahead and do things due to other people. My, here it is. Other folks might see you doing this. Other people, and there's a lot of Christians. Well, I just can't do this. I just can't do that. And here, we've allowed the garrison. We've allowed a group of folks, the peer pressure, to keep us. Here, it's so thick. It's so high. There's no way. And my, there's a lot of different ones. Some allow family to stop them from living for God. Some allow their friends, maybe the ones they work around, to stop them from living for God. Here, the garrison, they said there's no way we can have victory. There's too many people. As I'm thinking about this peer pressure, you read the book of 2 Samuel, you'll find there was one of David's sons, and he had a corrupt mind. And he thought about doing something that was totally against the will of God, something very immoral. And here, as he started thinking about that, and he realized there's no way I can do this. But the Bible says, but Ammon had a friend. It's interesting to note that this one by the name of Ammon wanted to do something sinful, wanted to do something wicked. He couldn't figure out, but the Bible says, but Ammon had a friend. And it was that friend that went ahead and showed him how to go ahead and go against God. It was a friend that went ahead and showed him how to sin against the Lord. It was a friend that went ahead and took the purity away. It was a friend that went ahead and caused that trouble. I want you to know the peer pressure, it can go ahead and stop the work of God in your life. I'm just noticing here what caused the failure. I noticed there was a giant. I noticed there was a garrison. And then I also noticed they were Baptistic. There was some grumbling going on. Boy, you talking about these folks, they started grumbling and complaining. They started getting discontented. Here it is. You get 10 folks and you read the scriptures. 10 of them gave an evil report. 2 of them said, no, we're able to do it. But I'm thinking about who would you listen to, 10 people or 2? You know, most of the time, anytime a vote's taken, it's the majority that runs things. And here it is, these 10 gave an evil report. These 10 went ahead and said, there's no way. And all of a sudden, you know what happened? The people said, Moses, you brought us out here to kill us. Moses, here it is. We're going to die in this wilderness. Our children, they're going to become a prey to the animal, wild animals and all the other things. Moses, we're just going to die here in the wilderness. They started grumbling. Now, I started thinking for just a moment as every now and then I look online at different things. And I have to admit, God sure has been good to my family. I don't know about yours, but God's been good to my family. I looked over at some folks in Africa and come to find out they've had two meals in an entire week. I have to admit, God's been good to my family. I look at it and I remember one time when we went down to Honduras. My wife and I, and we're in the bus with quite a few other Christians. And I remember as we're in that bus and they're just driving, they're showing us different things, and there were people that was living in a cardboard box. I have to admit this, God's been good to us. I started thinking for just a moment, as we was there in Honduras, they began to make known about the average wage of the person that was there in the area where we was at. And they said on a monthly basis, they'll make about $2.50 a month. And I say this, God's been good to us. But yet, many times when we look at how good God's been to us, there's many times we that make more than $2.50 a month, we that eat more than two meals a week, we that do not live in a cardboard box but in nice homes, we grumble and complain. I'm thinking for just a moment, sometimes we see what somebody else has, and might we say, why can't I have it? We see something else that somebody's involved. You know, we go around helping churches, and we've been to some. This isn't one of the churches, but we've been to some. They look at our camper, and boy, they say, my, that must be amazing being on a vacation 365 days a year. Could I say this? It's not vacation. Oh, it must be nice having a camper. The thing's 20 years old. I remember when we first got started in evangelism, helping churches. We went to a church over in Georgia. I won't even say what town it was, but we went to a church in Georgia. We had this was 1990, March of or April of 1990. We went to a church in Georgia. I knew the preacher. He was an acquaintance that we knew a long time ago. And here it is. I come to the church. We're in a 1971 motorhome, 25 foot. At that time, we only had four children, not five. Our fifth one wasn't born until the next year. But we had six of us in a 25-foot camper. Now, I'm just adding it up. Six and 25, each one of us gets 4 feet. You know what I'm talking about? 4 feet across. Don't you cross your line. But I'm thinking for a moment, that camper was so old. Crossed the Red Sea with Moses, I think. I remember we had to, it just messed up. I had to put a funnel and my wife was pouring gas in it as we're driving down the road. We had problems, had leaks. There was different problems with it. But I remember we got to this church and all of a sudden the preacher, he went ahead and started. He said, Brother Aguirre must have a lot of money. You ought to see the camper that he has. My wife looks at me and she says, where have you been keeping it? You know, it's easy for us to look at what somebody else has and think everything's going nice, everything's going good. I'm thinking here, they grumbled about what God has given to them. The Bible mentions in 1 Timothy, having food and raiment. If you have food, have you ate today? Do you have clothes on your back? Having food and raiment, let us be there with content. You know what God did for the children of Israel? He gave them food every day. He placed raiment on their body every day. I want you to know the clothes did not wear out. The food did not stop. But yet they complained. They bellyached. They said, there's no way. I'm noticing the failure. It was with the giants. I noticed the failure. It was with the garrison. I noticed the failure was with the grumbling that was taking place. Would you notice with me the second thought I want to give you? Not just the failure. But would you notice with me the failed mission? You say, what happened here? They lost the victory they could have had. There was a land that was flowing with milk and honey. There was a land that had plenty of wood in it. There was a land that had walled cities. There was a land that had gardens and vineyards. And God said, I'm giving it all to you. And they lost the victory. Do you realize tonight that God has victory for you if you're saved? You say, Brother Aguirre, I'm going through a rough time. Might be so. But no matter how you look at it, if you're saved, you have victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter whether we live or whether we die. We have victory in Christ. Listen, we have the victory that God has. You don't have to be defeated by a defeated foe. You can live in the victory God has for your life. Here, they lost the victory. I found out folks that lost victory, they're the most miserable person to be around. As we go and help churches, we try to minister, we try to help them. I try to get folks involved. I said, let's go get some new folks in church, or let's go ahead and build on the building, or let's go ahead and do this. And boy, here, folks are just missing. No, it's not going to work. Can't do that. I ask them, well, what can you do for God? There's some Christians, they just stay in the same spot. God wants victory in your life. Oh, listen, we might not be millionaires or billionaires, but listen, God wants us to have victory in our life. You can go ahead and have victory just living for Christ in the perfect will of God. I'm noticing victory in the Christian life. But I also notice this, no meaning in life. For 40 years, because of the giants that they looked at, 40 years because of the garrison they looked at, for 40 years of the grumbling they complained, God had them to wander around the wilderness. Can you imagine for 40 years, you come to the end of your life, and you start to think, what have I accomplished? And the answer is nothing. 40 years. God said that crowd's going to die off in that wilderness. And here it is, as their children are now growing up, and my, they see mom and dad pass away, maybe at the deathbed. Could you see dad saying, boy, I wish I didn't go with those 10. I wish I would have listened to those 2. I wish I would have said, let's go at once. I wish I would have got things packed up and went with Joshua and Caleb and said, we can go. Let's get everybody. Let's go. But here, they're on their deathbed saying, I wasted my life. I wasted everything God had in store. God had a beautiful place for me. God had a victorious Christian life for me. God had something special for me. But I wasted my life. Can I say this tonight? There's a lot of Christians just wandering around with no meaning in life. You realize God has a perfect will for you? And here, God don't want you just wandering around. He has a particular spot here in Sebring, Florida. God's placed you right here at this time. God has a particular job for you to do. We don't need to be wandering around with nothing, no meaning whatsoever. Here it is. God wants you to do something. I'll say this. God works with His church. You want to do something for God? Get involved with the church. Every time the doors are open, try to be found there. I mean, if something's going on, if you're able to, jump in. Just get involved. Whether it's working, whether it's building. Even if they're having a work day and you're not able to lift a thing. Oh, if you could just come and maybe pray for each one of the men as they're doing it. Or just encourage. Maybe just get them a glass of water. Hey, I'm saying, just get involved in the work of God. He works through the church. Have a meaning in life. Oh, as many of us have grown old and got up in years, we're not able to do the things we used to. But could I say, God still has a plan for your life. Here, I noticed they lost the meaning of life. And then I noticed they lost the rewards that God had. Later on, God, after the children of Israel finally get into the land of promise, He says, I've given you houses that you did not build. I've given you vineyards that you did not plant. I've given you wells that you did not dig. You realize God has rewards for your life. He has great things that He wants to give. I believe He has great things in store. One day when we stand before Him, there's rewards that will be given out. And by the Bible mentions the fire is going to try the worst, but there will be rewards that will last. But there will also be some Christians that made it to heaven, And here it is, the Bible uses the term, they're saved so as by fire. In other words, all they did was make it to heaven. Now, praise the Lord, I'm glad I'm going to heaven no matter what. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter if I mess up, fail. It doesn't matter if I go my way and decide to just leave God. I'm glad He's not going to leave me. I'm glad I'm heaven bound. But when I get before the Lord and I see the nail-scarred hands, and just to think He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. And when I see Him, this question be asked, what are the wounds in your hand? He said, I was wounded in the house of my friends. I'll see what He's done for me. And as that song says, by and by when I look on His face, I wish I had given Him more. More, more, so much more. More of my life than I ever gave before. I'm just noticing here, they lost the rewards in life. I'm just noticing tonight, I noticed the failure. I noticed not just the failure, but I noticed the failed mission. But I want you to notice with me, there's a renewal of the mission once again. Would you turn with me to the book of Joshua chapter number 2? Joshua chapter number 2. If you keep your place in Numbers chapter 13, but Joshua chapter number 2. And we find out in Joshua chapter 2, the old crowd has now died off. Those that did not believe God, those that went with the 10, those that went ahead and thought of the garrison, those that thought of the giants, those that did the grumbling, that group has now died off. There's only two that actually came out of that entire group that made it beyond those 40 years. And that was the two spies that said, we're well able. One was Joshua, one was Caleb. And here it is, Joshua has now taken over command of the children of Israel. Moses, God's servant, is now dead. God buried him, and now Joshua's in command. And in chapter 2, verse 1, Joshua the son of Nun sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, go view the land, even Jericho. And they went and came into a harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. Here we notice that Joshua says, look, it's time for us to get the mission done. Our fathers might not have been able to do it. Our fathers may have gave up on God. He says, but listen, it's time now that we go ahead and march forward. It's time now that we get into victory. Hey, listen, we don't have to stay defeated. We can go on. Hey, listen, it might be others might not have done what they should, but here at this church, we need to go ahead and decide we're going to move forward for the glory of God. So here it is, Joshua sends two men out. It's interesting, two men went to spy out this land. You recall with me, the other time when there was 12, two only came back giving a good report. One was named Caleb. And in the book of Numbers 13, we find out that Caleb, he says, Joshua told him, truly the Lord have delivered the land into our hands. He made mention that Caleb stilled the people in chapter 13 of Numbers, verse 30, and says, let us go up at once and possess it, for we're well able. Here it is. We find two men. They said, we can't. And Joshua sends two men into the land of Canaan to spy it out. They see everything. They look over everything. They talk to a young lady. And my, that young lady gets saved by the grace of God. Her name was Rahab. And my, they see how God has given them that land. They heard from Rahab that the whole land trembles at your presence. They're scared to death. They don't know what to do. And the men are just thinking, God has given us the land. I often think about this thought. Why did Joshua and Caleb, why are they the only ones that said, let's go over at once? Remember, there's 12 men. Why? We saw it was the giants, the garrison, and the grumbling. But why did these two men see things differently? I want to give you three thoughts real quick about this. I believe first reason, they saw the grapes. Moses, with the children of Israel, the first trip when they sent spies over, he says, I want you to bring back the fruit of the land. Bring back a sample of the fruit of the land. These men get over to the land of Canaan. They're looking over the walls. They see the giants, all the different things. And they see the fruit, a cluster of grapes. You know how we buy grapes? We just pick them up. They're about this big. You know what I'm talking about? Could you imagine a cluster so large, they had to put a pole through it. One person got on one end, one person got on the other, and they started walking. Now, I'm just thinking, as they're walking, these 10 men, there's 10 men looking at walls. But I think Joshua and Caleb was looking at the grapes. There were 10 men looking at the giants. But Joshua and Caleb was looking at what God said, a land flowing with milk and honey. There were 10 men that had their eyes on what was going on in the world. But there was 2 men, I think, that was looking at. I don't know if Joshua and Caleb were the ones that carried it. The Bible doesn't say. I don't know if other men carried it. But I do know this. Joshua and Caleb, when they came back and the men said, "There's no way, we're grasshoppers in their sight." Oh, Caleb said, "We might be grasshoppers, but there's a God up in heaven that'll go ahead and deliver us." You see, they was looking at other things. My, many times we look at the world. You look at the world, it'll discourage you. It'll get you off the track. It'll get you from the race. You won't be able to press towards the prize. But what we need to do, we need to put our eyes back on the promises of God. Oh, look at what God has said. His promises are true. They have not failed. They've been there all the time. It's always been true. We serve a God that does not lie. The promises are there. They had their eyes on the promises of God. So many times we get our eyes off the promises. Tonight, if I could maybe get you to think for just a moment, if you could maybe look at some of the grapes with me. Could you look with me as they're carrying them and they bring them to the children of Israel? I'm wondering, who got to sample the grapes? You ever thought about it? 3 million people. The grapes wasn't enough for everybody. I wonder who got to sample some. I wonder who got to go ahead and taste and see that the Lord was good. I'm just thinking for a moment. Here I believe Joshua and Caleb, I believe they went ahead and they kept their eyes on the blessings. You know, we've gone through trials, we've gone through heartaches. But it's good to remember the promises of God. Back in the year of 1996, I've mentioned this quite a few times, I was shot by a sniper. I had 4 hours to live. Going in the ambulance from New Orleans, or from Hammond, Louisiana to New Orleans, by way of ambulance, I started thinking, and I did not understand why I was shot. You see, I just finished up a revival service. Finished preaching a revival. Good services. Our next meeting was a missions conference. I was the keynote speaker for that missions conference. And I'm honest, I didn't understand why I was shot down. It wasn't like I was out running around. It wasn't like I was out drinking. It wasn't like I was cruising, just doing things of the world. It wasn't like I was serving God. And I remember, as the doctor mentioned, and he said, "You got about 4 hours to live." Things begin to race through your mind when you're told you only got so much time to live. And I started thinking, I remember when I was called to preach at the age of 11. I remember when I surrendered to do what we're doing right now at age 15. And I started thinking, I said, "Lord, I don't understand it. I have not been involved in this ministry long. I have not been doing this ministry that long. Lord, I feel you wanted me to give my life towards this ministry. I don't understand it." And sometimes we don't understand why trials come in our lives. You see, there will be trials of giants. There will be giants around. There will be trials of the garrison. There will be other folks that might give it their own opinion. There will be those that grumble and complain. But I'm just thinking, when all that was taking place, I'm in the ambulance, and I started thinking about this. And it was the main thought that ran through my mind. Why should somebody that's been saved by grace, kept by grace, living by grace, preaching by grace, die in disgrace? I said, I'm not going to do it. And I determined to let that EMT know that there's a God in heaven. I determined to let other folks know that whether I live or die, God might be honored and glorified. I'm saying, look at the promises. I started looking at all the promises of God. And though I had only 4 hours to live, I looked at what God had, what God promised, all the things that He said. And boy, I want you to know, it changed me completely. When you look at the promises of God. Well, I don't have to tell you, I made it past 4 hours. I'm thinking for just a moment here, there's a renewed mission because they looked at the grapes. I think they not only looked at the grapes, but they looked at God. You know, when you compare the world to what you're doing, we want to go ahead and go in defeat. But compare what God has, what's going on in the world with God. And boy, when you look at the world and look at God, you say the world doesn't have a chance. I know those walls of Jericho were real high. Some say they were between 30 to 40 feet high. I'm not sure if that's what it is, but tradition says they're between 30 to 40 foot high. That's a high wall. They said that with the land of Jericho, you could take a team of horses with a chariot and ride on the top of it. That's how thick it was. I don't know if that's the way it was. History says that. The walls were too high. The walls were too thick. But can I say it's nothing compared to our God? And it was God. It wasn't the children of Israel. It was God that brought the walls down. All they had to do was just follow what God said. All they had to do was get behind the man of God. Go ahead and get behind the work of God. Get behind that ark of God. And my hero would go ahead and go around the city every day, one time. On that last day that it went around seven times. And here that seventh time they went ahead and blew. And all of a sudden the walls came down. I'm just thinking for a moment, when you look at God, it's not that hard to live for Him. If you can go ahead and look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith, you can stop the grumbling that's going on in your life. If we can maybe get our eyes and turn our eyes on Jesus and look full in His wonderful face, oh, the things of this earth become strangely dim. Why? There's a God that's greater than the junk of this world. They begin to look towards God. There in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 10, it shall be that when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which He swore unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to give thee a great and goodly city which thou buildest not, houses full of good things which thou fillest not, wells digged which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not, then shalt thou have eaten and be full. I'm just thinking for a moment, you can live on the blessings and the promises of God. You can have victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. But tonight we got to get our eyes off the giants. What giants are in your life? Brother Aguirre, I would serve God completely, but whatever comes next is the giant in your life. Brother Aguirre, I would be in church all the time, but there's giants in our lives. Brother Aguirre, I would go ahead, but you don't realize all my friends. There's a garrison. We need to look to God tonight. I'm thinking for just a moment, living in the perfect will of God. Paul was the one that said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. He said, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Can I ask you tonight, are you in the perfect will of God? Are the giants, the garrison, the gremlin taken over in your life? If your mission has failed, I'm thinking for just a moment, God wants to renew it. Just like with the children of Israel, He says, I still made a promise. I'm still going to keep my promise. And tonight, you and I, we can have victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you stand with me tonight, everyone? Stand in. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Father, different thoughts have been given this evening. Lord, there's giants, I know, in our lives. Lord, there's the garrison, a lot of peer pressure. Lord, there's even the grumbling. We've looked at all these things that stop us from doing the will of God. But Lord, tonight you're well able to help us. Lord, you're well able to help us to live a life pleasing to Thee. Lord, as Paul made known, he's pressing towards the prize, to the mark. He's forgetting about the things that are behind and reaching forward to the things which are before. Lord, tonight we need to look to Thee. We need to turn our eyes to You. Father, You've spoken to hearts. I pray the will of God might be accomplished. Maybe there's some here tonight. You've spoken to them. I don't know, maybe they're going through problems with giants in their life. Maybe they're going through problems, Lord, with seeing what the world has to offer. Father, tonight, maybe some want to gather around the altar. I pray they'll come tonight. The altar's a good place to come. It's a good place to say, Lord, I want Your will. I want to do the perfect will of God. Pray folks might respond tonight to the message of the Word of God. Bless this invitation in Jesus' name. Amen. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Piano's playing tonight. God's speaking to your heart. Maybe you'd like to leave your seat and come around this altar tonight. What about it this evening? Would you let the Lord have His will and way? Would you let Him have His way in your life tonight? God's speaking to you. Oh, the giants in your life. Maybe you just need to get with the Lord tonight and say, Lord, here's my life. I want to live for You. What about it tonight? You can have victory. What about it? Your mission has failed. It's time to get the mission going again. Time to get the mission back up. We need to do the will of God. God's speaking tonight. Father, I pray You'll bless. Lord, work in hearts and lives. Lord, how often have we failed in a mission? Lord, we need to get back involved. We need to go ahead and get back in, moving for You, doing the perfect will of God. Pray You'll bless the invitation. Speak to hearts and lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. She's playing hymn number 10 tonight. Hymn number 10.